Entering into retreat. You've all done this before so many times. And yet it's often helpful to just be reminded in a way of why we're here, the kind of the commonality that we share about why we're here, and to remind ourselves about our kind of group way of being together. And this is something of a ritual in a way for the retreats here in the West, in this particular lineage of our tradition, that we start a retreat with the Refuges and Precepts. Just reminding ourselves really of why we're practicing and how we're practicing. The Refuges. This is really, to me, the why. Why are we practicing? Because we've mostly come together with a recognition or an understanding that we struggle. And the Buddha too, in his quest, really, that his whole journey began with this question of human beings suffer. And is it possible to find freedom, refuge, security, safety from that struggle? And so this question of refuge is really the, in a way, we could say it's the question that the Buddha resolved for himself, for his journey. And then he offered to us that, yes, it's not just me that has this possibility of finding refuge and freedom, release from suffering, but also anyone who enters into the path which he laid out for us. Fortunately, because what he really noticed or discovered is that the suffering, I mean, we so often feel like the suffering is coming from outside. And the Buddha pointed to the real truth that we can't control that much of what happens outside of us. And so stuff is going to happen. We are going to interact with situations and people and things that happen that we don't have control over. And so if our freedom, if the possibility of being at ease in our lives depended on the rest of the world coming into some kind of magical alignment, it would not happen. And so the Buddha really pointed that the place where we can find this freedom is, or this refuge that he pointed to, is not an external refuge, but it is really a refuge of release. It's a releasing around the ways in which our mind participates in its own suffering. The habits of greed, the habits of aversion, the habits of delusion, that we can see those and wisdom develops that supports a freedom, a letting go of the ways in which our mind habitually gets hooked. And so the refuge the Buddha found is a refuge, kind of an internal refuge. Only it is not a refuge of getting anything. So it's a little, you know, turn of the mind, really. It's a refuge that's about letting go of greed, aversion, and delusion. Letting go of those ways in which which our mind creates its own struggles. And so the practice that the Buddha offers us is a path that helps us to find that freedom through basically seeing and understanding where our minds get hooked. So we don't just enter in and, you know, just kind of magically figure out how to let go. We learn how to let go by seeing where we're not letting go. And this is not a mistake. This is how it works. So it's both good news and sometimes very frustrating to sit and watch and see what's happening in there. And yet, if you are meeting in your practice, if you are meeting struggle and suffering, and you are practicing with it, bringing mindfulness with it, bringing a perspective to it that is, what is this experience as a human experience? Then you're bringing that wise view together with mindfulness. And that will help your mind to begin to transform, to change, to let go of those habits, to begin to understand them for what they are, which is suffering. And so this possibility of freedom is what the Buddha pointed to, and this taking refuge is, in a way, it's honoring the Buddha, the three aspects of refuge: the refuge in the Buddha, the refuge in the Dharma, the refuge in the Sangha. Bhikkhu Bodhi points out that these are not separate refuges. It's not like three different refuges. They are kind of like different facets of the same refuge. They all support us. These aspects support us to find that true refuge of release from greed, aversion, and delusion. So we could say that is the true refuge, the refuge of the Dharma, the truth of the release that comes when our hearts are no longer clinging and stuck with greed, aversion, and delusion. So that's, in a way, that's the core refuge, is that freedom that's possible. And yet that freedom that's possible is not easy to find. And so the Buddha, we take refuge in the Buddha because he's the one that kind of pointed out to us how we might find it and offered us teachings, offered us a path, offered us tools to help us to meet our habits and patterns of mind. And so those habits and patterns seen through the lens of the teachings of the Buddha, the Dharma, helps us to see the truth of the Dharma. And so that there's a connection between the Dharma the Buddha offered, the teachings, the practices, the tools, and the truth that is revealed. And also taking refuge in the Buddha, to me, points to not only that I am so grateful that the Buddha existed, but that he was a human being. He was an ordinary man, although very extraordinary in many ways. And yet, because because he was human, because he was a man. And he's what he said is, you know, this is possible. Everyone can do what I did. You just have to follow the path. And so to me, that's another piece of the taking refuge in the Buddha. If you know, taking refuge in the Buddha feels a little remote or distant to you, this being that lived 2,600 years ago, then another way to think about that refuge is that we're kind of in a way taking refuge in our capacity as human beings to learn and to grow and to develop wisdom and to be mindful, to be aware. Everything that the Buddha taught is just part of being a human being. All of the practices, all of the tools come back to some very simple practices and skills and just normal everyday kind of capacities that we have as human beings. And so that sense of the possibility being human offers us, if we've heard some of these teachings. You know, the Buddha figured it out by himself, found his way to this understanding without having heard it before. But it is said that that is a very rare being that can do that. The rest of us need help. The rest of us kind of need a pointing, need somebody to say, hey, look at this, look at it this way. And so that's the Dharma that the Buddha offered, is that pointing, that kind of aiming, that direction. Look at things this way. You look at them this way, you'll see that your own mind is contributing to your struggles. And in seeing that, your own mind will figure out how to let it go. Because so fortunately, our minds want to let go. Our minds want to find well-being. Our minds want to move in the direction of ease and peace. It's just that they are so fundamentally confused that they've got all these ideas and layers of views they're looking at things through that they aren't able to see the way to that letting go. And so really the teaching of the Dharma is a new view, a different way of looking at things. And we can take refuge in that view sometimes when we're caught or stuck, remembering some of these teachings the Buddha offered us. Something as simple as just remembering, oh yeah, this is impermanent, it's not going to last. Or maybe this is just a human experience happening right now, and it's conditioned. So we can remind ourselves in a way that is, in a way, taking refuge in the Dharma when we remind ourselves of the wisdom that the Buddha offered. And that can help us to hold something that we may be struggling with. And then we also many of us often need the support not only of the teachings that the Buddha offered, but of community. And that's why sitting in a retreat like this is so helpful for us, because we are reminded as we look around that we're all in this together, that we're all practicing together. And we can at times be inspired by others. So many times I remember on retreat that I would look out, like if I was feeling a little bit wilted, I could look out at the room. One time I remember looking out and seeing somebody just slightly shift their posture, and they moved so mindfully. And just immediately that mindful movement brought mindfulness into my mind, into my experience. Just that very real sense of being supported by Sangha. So the mind kind of perked up. and was no longer so wilted. And so these three work together, the Buddha, the Dharma, the Sangha, to support us to keep going, to hold our perspective, to remember our the perspective that will help us to let go, and to support each other in this practice. And another aspect of refuge in the Sangha is that we're not only supported by the others, but we are also a part of the container supporting everyone. And so we are a refuge in this way. It's not just that I feel like we don't just aspire to take refuge in the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha, but also to become a refuge for others. I think the refuge in the Sangha has this two-way street, that we can become a refuge for others by practicing, by engaging with mindfulness, and also by engaging ethically, taking the precepts and following the precepts together. Really, this is the container of the retreat that we have together, this ethical conduct. These aspects of ethical conduct, I feel, are we could say they're practical guidelines or suggestions, given that we are interested in practicing what the Buddha taught and looking at where greed, aversion, and delusion are kind of taking root in our minds. The Buddha taught these precepts as kind of wake-up bells for us. If you want to free the mind of greed, aversion, and delusion, these actions are good to avoid, because these actions, the precepts to refrain from killing, to refrain from taking that which is not given, to refrain from sexual misconduct, but here on retreat we will refrain from sexual activity, to refrain from false speech, and to refrain from taking intoxicants that cloud the mind. These, the actions that we're refraining from, if we were to engage in them, they are almost always motivated by greed, aversion, or delusion. And so the Buddha really pointed to these. If you want to free the mind of greed, aversion, and delusion, use these as wake-up bells and refrain from acting on them. Refrain from following through on acting on these. So in this way, they're very practical, the precepts. They're really about non-harming. And that's another piece, really, of the, if we want to be free ourselves from suffering, then refraining from doing something that creates suffering in the world is a good idea. And most of these actions are ones that are in relationship and would be creating a rub, creating a friction between us and others. And so this is a way in which we can support each other and support our own hearts and minds by not adding harm to the world. And even as we do that, there is a teaching, Bhikkhu Bodhi points this out. I think it's probably from the commentaries, but Bhikkhu Bodhi points out that with the refraining from these actions, just the very act of refraining from killing, creates the conditions and begins to open the heart, is if we're not engaged in this, in these precepts from just a kind of a rote, I'm not going to do that, I'm just going to, you know, kind of cut it off and not do it. The pointer here to me really is the seeing this urge in the mind, seeing that movement in the mind, and being curious about it. So not to just repress it, but to as I think using this as wake-up bells, using these as mindfulness bells, we can become aware when our minds want to engage unethically and not repress it, but also see if we might not express it. And so this begins to help us to watch our minds. Why do we want to do these things? And this points back to the roots of greed, aversion, and delusion. So we get to witness those, we see those. And as we watch those, as we refrain from acting unskillfully, and perhaps reflecting on how much of the day we are not acting unskillfully, we might begin to recognize that there's room in the mind for these wholesome qualities to grow. Bhikkhu Bodhi pointed out that each one of these precepts is paired with a wholesome quality that develops as that unwholesome action recedes. There's room for the wholesome quality to grow. And so refraining from killing is paired with compassion. Refraining from taking that which is not given, paired with honesty, contentment. Refraining from sexual misconduct is paired with a kind of integrity. Refraining from false speech with truthfulness. And refraining from intoxicants with clarity of mind. And so it might not immediately happen, and yet it does create the conditions. It creates the conditions for our minds to, if we are curious about it, if we're curious about this quality of mind that is not engaged in harming, what's there? For me, this was actually something I had to work on. That as I started to recognize, yes, there is the absence of some unwholesomeness, to begin to recognize and turn towards the possibility of wholesomeness being there, beginning to recognize that it actually was there, but just wasn't quite recognized, wasn't quite seen or touched into. And so playing with the precepts, we can also be curious, you know, as you're going through your day and noticing the wholesomeness or the wholesome absence of harm. Maybe you can also see in your mind some of these wholesome qualities of contentment and compassion and integrity and truthfulness and clarity. It sometimes takes a remembering that those qualities can be growing to start to see them. So most of you have taken the refuges and precepts. What we'll do tonight is we'll chant the refuges together in Pali. I think most of you know them. If you don't, then you can just kind of listen and be in the field of the taking of the refuges. And the refuges we take, first we do the homage to the Buddha, three times. And then we go for refuge in the Buddha, the Dharma, the Sangha. For the second time, we go for refuge to the Buddha, the Dharma, the Sangha. And then for the third time, we go for refuge to the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha. And then we'll do the precepts together in English. And I'll do those in call and response. But we'll do the refuges together. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Dutiyampi Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Dutiyampi Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Dutiyampi Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Tatiyampi Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Tatiyampi Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Tatiyampi Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. I undertake the precepts. I undertake the precept to refrain from killing. I undertake the precept to refrain from taking that which is not given. I undertake the precept to refrain from sexual activity. I undertake the precept to refrain from false speech. I undertake the precept to refrain from intoxicants, which cloud the mind and lead to heedlessness.